Let's go do this. Turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 16. And we're going to read verses 7 through 10. Three verses, and I want to talk to you. We're still continuing our exposure series until the Lord tells me stop. Just things that he's trying to get across to us. And this one is very interesting, what I received this week. And so I want to give it to you. Amen. All right. Now, I got a lot of names I got to pronounce, so don't laugh. Amen. All right. We ready? So verse 7 says, "And at the time Hanani, the seer, came to Asa, the king of Judah." You know, that's a good name. "And said to him, because you have relied on the king of Syria and have not relied on the Lord your God, therefore the army of the king of Syria has escaped from your hand. Were the Ethiopians and the Lubim not a huge army with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet, because you relied on the Lord, he delivered them into your hand." This is my favorite verse. "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. And this you have done foolishly. Therefore, from now on, you shall have wars." Verse 10. "Then Asa was angry with the seer and put him in prison, for he was enraged at him because of this. And Asa oppressed some of the people at that time." I want to talk to you this morning in this series to continue called Don't Break Covenant. Don't Break Covenant. Put on verse 9 for me one more time, and I want us to all read this out so it can come out of your own mouth. Amen. Let's read. "For the eyes. So let's get straight to the nitty gritty. So here in our text, we have this real individual called King Asa. We're introduced to him in 2 Chronicles chapter 15, where we are first introduced to him. And so we are told that there was a prophet that came to him and gave him the prophecy of Oded. And what happened is that because he heard that word that was given through the man of God, that the Spirit of the Lord came on in 2 Chronicles chapter 15, what begins to happen is he brings reform to the southern kingdom of Judah. Just for you to understand that Israel and Judah had been broken up into the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom because they had beef with one another. All right, because they had beef with one another, one ruled in the northern region and one ruled in the southern. And so we have here that King Asa, he heard the word that was given from the prophet. And at the time, the northern region was in rebellion against God. But something that Asa heard, something that he heard a word from the man of God, and that word pushed him or motivated him to bring righteousness back to the southern kingdom by giving their commitment and covenant to God. And so what he began to do, ladies and gentlemen, and why he had success is because during the period in which he came, Asa would continue to focus on God. And what he would do and what he did was eliminate the remnants of idol worship that was in the southern kingdom and the practicing of festivals in the southern kingdom that were not that were against the God of the Bible. He ensured all that political leaders and role models had proper form of worship, which was to worship the true and living God. And what he did was he even punished his own mother and made an example of her apostasy by stripping her title and destroying her cultic objects in front of the nation. So he had great victory. He had great success in his beginning. I want you to keep a note of that. He had great success in his beginning. And the reason why he had great success in his beginning is because he brung people back to the Lord. He brung people back to the Lord. He made the Lord, their God, their focus. And so because of that, in 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 12 through 15, which we will read, it says, "Then they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord of their fathers with all their heart and what? With all their soul." And then verse 13 says, and whoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel was to be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. Verse 14 says, then they took an oath before the Lord. So not only did they make a covenant, but they took an oath before the Lord with a loud voice, with shouting and trumpets and ram's horns. And in verse 15, it says, and all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart and sought him with all their soul. And he was found by them, and the Lord gave them rest all around. I need you to also take that and Snapchat that in your head. And the Lord gave them rest all around. And the Lord gave them rest all around. So now, because the Lord has given them rest, not to say that everything that was happening around them were peaceful, but they had rest. I need you to keep that in mind, that all things, they had certain people like the Ethiopians and all of them under their feet. Great armies were under their feet. They couldn't do nothing with them because the Lord had them covered. The Lord had them covered. And why did the Lord have them covered? Because they made a covenant to the Lord to seek the hand and the face of God. Because they sought the Lord and made a covenant, under covenant, God is not a breaker of covenant. And because he's not a breaker of covenant, he honored his word that he gave through the mouth of the prophet, saying that if you seek him, he'll be found. He honored his word that if you sought him, that he would show himself strong on their behalf. That's what the Lord said through the man of God in 2 Chronicles chapter 15. And because of that, his heart responded. But as we get in the later years of Asa, ladies and gentlemen, in his reign, there's a shift that happens. He has rest all around. His enemies are at bay. But the problem is that the northern king who's in Israel, Ben-Hadad, what he did is he fortified the city of Ramah. What is that? Why is that important for you to understand? It's because through that, it would put pressure on Asa to have to concede concessions, because their route of economics and all of that would be impacted, because nobody is coming through to the southern region because they have fortified the city in Ramah. What happens is that Baasha, I'm sorry, is the northern king at the time. He gained the upper hand in the days of Asa because he effectively blocked the major route into Judah at the city of Ramah. And he hoped that this military and economic pressure on Judah would force Asa into significant concessions. What happens is, ladies and gentlemen, is that when we find ourselves under pressure situations, we start to compromise where we are. And a little compromise will be a major difference in your life. Ladies and gentlemen, what he began to do is go into self-preservation. And what he did was forget all about, ladies and gentlemen, all of that, what they've sought the Lord and all the victories God gave before them. All of a sudden, he has allowed the pressure to get to him. And nowhere in 2 Chronicles 16 do you see that he sought the Lord for anything. And so what happens is that what Baasha did is what worked, because what he did was figure, what Asa figured that he would do is, then now I'm going to make a covenant with Syria, with Ben-Hadad down there in Syria. And if I can get him on my side, that will put us in a better place to go up against Israel. So what happens is that we start to do what is wise in our own eyes. We start to take matters into our own hands. When you don't seek the Lord, you start thinking that what you're going to come up with is better than the plan that God has. Instead of staying in rest, you start allowing situations that are around you to start putting pressure on you to get you to come out of God. Here's the reality, ladies and gentlemen, and the reason why the Lord gave this to me is because God is doing an amazing thing in front of our eyes, church. God is doing great things in our eyes. But what he's telling us today is don't come out of covenant even when pressures around you try to arise itself, because the goal is to try to take you out of covenant so that you can then come out of the protection of God. And so because he was no longer, because he took matters on his own hand, and now he made a covenant and made an alliance with a person with a worse enemy than what he had in the northern kingdom. Because when you compromise, you open yourself up for more trouble than what you think. All because you're thinking that way is better. Ladies and gentlemen, a covenant is an agreement between two parties that specifies requirements for at least one party and includes blessing and curses for obedience or failure. So what happens is they made a strong covenant in 2 Chronicles 15. They break covenant because he made an alliance with Syria. Well, Pastor, what's the big deal? He just thought that was going to help him. The big deal about it is you didn't come to God. That's the big deal. The big deal is that God knows you're in from your beginning, and he knew that damn Syria, they were well worse. And if you gave them an inch, they gonna take a hold. They may not take it now. They may think they're your friends now, but later on, you gonna get backdoored. Here's what happens, ladies and gentlemen. We think we're going to get somewhere fast, and we think that we're going to cut through. I need them to be my friend. I need that to work. And what you don't understand is that all of that, ladies and gentlemen, can backfire. Because you have not sought God. And when you make anything outside of the covenant with God, you didn't broke covenant with him. When you align yourself with anything outside of the will of God, you have broken covenant. Wow. Wow. And because he broke covenant, here in our text in 2 Chronicles 16, what begins to happen is Hananiah, the seer, the prophet of God, comes to Asa and tells him, listen, because you relied on another thing to fit where you are, you have now brought wars upon yourself. What is that telling you? You brought unnecessary drama into your life that you didn't need. Why? Because a little compromise. Ladies and gentlemen, because he came out of covenant, he pretty much said, listen, mother, he said, you had peace. Now, you're going to have wars. You had rest, but now you got anxiety. Now you're frustrated. Now you're in depression. Why? Because a little compromise. Go to verse 9 for me. Here's why I got to show you this. Because in verse 9 and 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9, I want you to see, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on your behalf. That means that God is looking to show himself strong on your behalf at all times. See, what happens is, and I'm probably moving ahead of myself, and that's fine, but here's the problem. You are robbing God of the opportunity to show his glory when you take matters into in your own hands. Are you hearing me? So number one, let me show you this, and I'm going to move it forward. Here we go. Number one, it was a word that brought you into covenant, and the word should keep you in covenant. There was a word that he heard. Asa heard a word that brought him in the covenant to say, you know what? We need to bring reform to the southern region. We need to call people back to God. See, there's a word that brought you into salvation, but you don't trust that same word to keep you in your salvation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If the word is enough to save you, then the word is enough to sustain you. If the word is enough to save you, then the word is enough to keep you. See, the reason why we come out of covenant, because we think low of God. You don't think that he's able to do what he says he can do in this word. It's the word of God that brought you into repentance. It's also the word of God that's going to keep you. Hallelujah. If he said, I promise to never leave you nor forsake you, then you got to take him for his word. The Lord said to Asa through the mouth of God and told him that, listen, if you seek him, he'll be found. He said, if you remain strong in him, he'll remain strong in you. People here say that, oh, all the God's promises are yes and amen. You don't believe that. You don't believe that. You don't believe that. You believe it for some people. You don't believe it for you. When people give testimonies, some for you, some for some of us, people can give testimonies about their own life, but that don't do nothing for you, because that's you. That's not me. Because you don't trust the word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It was the word. The word became flesh and even dwelt among us, ladies and gentlemen. In the beginning was the word, and the word was God, and the word was with God. Ladies and gentlemen, he even came in the earth and, oh my God, as the word, and yet they still received him not, because they didn't trust the word. Hallelujah. But the stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, ladies and gentlemen, because if he's the chief cornerstone, that means the word is able to keep my life when there's rocky situations that I find myself in. Say, I hear ya. Ladies and gentlemen, if you take the word as what it says there, hallelujah, then you can take it in and really receive it. But if you hear and you looking on TikTok telling you, man wrote the word. The word is infallible. It ain't the true word. It's the thoughts of God that was given through man, but all of it is subjective. And if you see it like that, then guess what? It ain't gonna do nothing for you. Man wrote it. Let me tell you something. Man ain't that smart to be able to come up with how the world was created from the beginning. And matter of fact, let me tell you something. Because we're fleshly and because we're full of sin, there is no way in the world that man is going to tell you to commit to God. Oh my God, and give up yourself. Turn the other cheek. Man ain't going to write that, because that's not in us and that's not in our nature. Our nature is to swing back. Our nature is to fight back. Our nature is to go against God. So how in the God green earth you going to tell me that man's going to tell you to repent? Man ain't going to do that.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Come on, hold on. Make it make sense.
Yes, sir.
Are you hearing what I'm telling you? Man ain't going to tell you to do that. Man is not going to tell you to deny yourself. Well, pastor, that's his way, as religion is God's way of keeping people in line so people don't do nothing. How are you going to keep people in line when there's evil in the world? How in the world are you going to do that? Because sin is here. How? Make it make sense. Why am I doing this? Because you know I'm telling the truth. You on social media, you see it all on there. It's the word that's going to keep you in covenant. Let's go to this. John 15, verse 7. John 15, verse 7. But if you remain in me. And what it say there? Come on, let me hear you. What it say? My words. Remain in who? Then what you going to do? And what to do? All he needed to do was inquire of the Lord. See, all you need, you and I need to do is inquire of the Lord, because his word says that if I ask anything in his name, then he will. Sweetie, I'm just telling us today that if we allow the word of God to remain in us, his promises to remain in us. He's the promise of God to say, no good thing will he withhold from those who walk upright before him. So if I hold on to that promise, even though it may look dire right now, and I want to come out and make a permanent decision, even in a temporary situation, because you don't feel like your situation's ever going to change, and you just make a permanent decision, then you rob yourself of staying in covenant and allowing the word to do the work. In the beginning, what did God the Father show us in the creation? Whatever came out of his mouth, that's what it would be. What does Jesus, hallelujah, the Son of God, come back in the New Testament to tell you? That whatever you said out of your mouth, when they were looking at the fig tree and they were so amazed how Jesus cursed the fig tree, because you don't realize that what comes out of your mouth is life and death. And the reality of the matter is that you can speak negative all day. It's easy to speak in depression. It's easy to speak from a place of anxiety. It's easy to speak from a place of frustration, but it's a lot harder to speak from a place of faith, even though when you don't see what you don't see. But the last time I checked, when you in covenant with God, the just shall live by faith. And we don't live by sight, because your sight can be, oh my, and your senses can throw you off, and it'll look like it's gonna be permanent. It'll look like, yes, it's stormy at this time. I can acknowledge I'm dealing with a storm of cancer. I can acknowledge that I'm dealing with this heartbreak. I can acknowledge that, but guess what? I'm not gonna stay there, because I can also acknowledge that he can keep me in perfect peace if I keep my mind stayed on him. Hallelujah.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So you gotta ask. He said, whatever you ask, when you remain in the word, you know what to ask for.
Come on, come on.
Yes, sir.
You break covenant because you don't know the word. You break covenant because you don't spend time with the word, not just the word itself, but spend time with the word.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Listen, don't you allow the pressures to cause you to. Here's what happens is you will hear the word, but the seed of the word will never take root when you allow all the things to steal from it. You're around people that choke the word. Man, my pastor preached a good word. He said about all of that stuff about you got to stay focused and stuff like that and allow the word to do the work. But I don't really trust what these pastors say, because then they come up with some conspiracy theory and then all of a sudden, you know, you're right. Choked the word. Can I give you this? I want to give you this phrase to say it goes both ways. Say it goes both ways. Can I help you? Listen, you know how the scripture says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God? So does doubt, unbelief, and all of that stuff also comes through your senses. You get what I'm saying? Because where there is the righteous play, there's also the demonic. That's why it says guard your heart with all diligence, because out of it flows the issues of life. Why does the word of God tell you that? It's because anything that comes through your senses has the ability to affect your decisions. So while I may hear faith in one ear, faith can't take root because I saw something, I heard something, and that sowed a seed of doubt in me that now have festered more. Because if you warded the doubt more than what you warded your faith, then doubt will always win. Are you hearing what I'm telling you? All right? So that's why you have to water your faith. That's why you have to continue to work on your faith. Why? Because you can't stay on the milk of the word. You have to eventually grow into the bigger things. I'm trying to get you like, hey, this is really milk, but now I'm trying to really move you on the real things of the word. Why? So that you can now have the necessary diet you need so that you can sustain in the fight. Number two. It says, number two, I want to give you, when we break or step out of covenant with God, we set ourselves back. I want to show you something that was said that the prophet told him that was very important. Listen, let's go back to verse 9. Verse 9 is what I want to show you yet again. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is what? loyal to him. Before I say what I really want to say, the thing I need to put a pin in before I move forward is, we are, your yes need to be your yes, and your no need to be your no. Your yes need to be your yes, or your word means nothing. Some of you, I done seen on that exposure thing because I've been praying for you on there. I've seen all the things. You want to get closer to God. I just need to be in the presence of the Lord Jesus. All of this stuff, right? And that's great. But let your yes be your yes and your no be your no. You know what keeps you back from really seeing the hand of God? Because your yes ain't your yes. Let me tell you something. The supernatural is something that every believer should be seeing as a normal basis. And I'm telling you, the supernatural is just not in the big grandioso miracles and all of that stuff that you may experience in your life. It's in the everyday miracle of you getting up. It's in the everyday miracle that you have something on your plate. It's on the everyday miracle that you got clothes on your back and you're in your right mind. It's in the ability to see God in everything. Say everything is spiritual. Everything is spiritual. Believe it or not, everything is spiritual. Here it is. In this, you have done what? Foolishly. He said, you're a fool. You've done this action foolishly. And what he says, therefore, now on, you shall have wars. Here's the thing about it that he needs to understand. Matter of fact, let me take you back to verse 7, actually. Go to verse 7. And he says, at the time, Hananiah the seer came to Asa, the king of Judah, and said to him, because you have relied on the king of Syria, made a covenant with man and broke your covenant with the true living God, have not relied on the Lord your God. Therefore, the army of the king of Syria has escaped from your hand. He said, listen, they've been at your feet this whole time. And now that you've made this covenant, they've came out of your hand. Because when you really read history, what happens is Syria eventually invades the southern kingdom because of this treaty they made. You allow the infiltration of the enemy when you had it at bay. He said he escaped from your hand. Now you're going to have wars, and those wars will succeed you. You know how generational things are introduced? Because somebody broke a covenant and made another one. You know why you deal with certain? Oh, there's no such thing as generationally. Oh, yes, there is. Because not after King Asa died, there were still wars. Why am I warring with certain things in my bloodline? Because there was a covenant that was broken. I'm not cursed because in the New Testament I'm delivered and all of that. But guess what? That still don't take away the fact that there are certain things I war against that didn't even come from me. There's certain things you and I deal with that you're saying, why am I dealing with this? It's not even something I introduced my, but because there is a principality or power within that line that's trying to make that come onto you. I want you to see how serious this is. You can play with God all you want to, play with, you know, all of that stuff. This is not a joke. What I'm trying to get across to you, this ain't no conspiracy theory. This ain't none of, no, this is the facts. The facts of the matter is there could be people far generations from yours, right? Twice removed. And you're still dealing with something from your great, 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 great grandparents. Why is it important to know your line? It's important to know your line to know what they dealt with so that you can be aware. There's certain things. Why is it important? They ask you this. I want to show you something and show you it in the natural. Why do they ask you about your family history medically? Why, Vernon? They need to know what was in your family history, because a lot of times what was in your history can end up happening to you. And so the way of trying to get at it head on before it happens is, let's know the family history. So that you can make better decisions. If you know diabetes running your family, then you and I gotta make better decisions on what we eat. Say, help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus.
Ain't that right, friends? Help me, Jesus.
That's it. That's it.
I'm serious. If I know cancer ran at a certain thing in my family, then that means I need to be making sure that I'm aware. Early detection. All of those types of things. It's not to scare you. It's so that you can be made aware. Because you don't realize a lot of things you can get ahead of if you took your due diligence to know it beforehand. Am I right about it? So here it is that they escaped from his hand. You had them. You had rest all around you. And rather, see, you think that rest is in the idea that everything's peaceful. The difference between the peace of the world and the peace of God is that it surpasses all understanding. Because it makes no sense how my family and I could experience so much loss in a period of time and not be crazy. Because I have rest. There remains for the people of God a rest. Not a rest when you die. I'm talking about a rest now. There's a peace that I can tell you that I can just remain in. Like, how are you holding it together? You know, they come to you, you're grieving and all that stuff, like, and you're still going through the grieving process, but how are you holding it together? The peace of God. That's all I can say. I can't tell you anything else. I wish I had a trick to give you. I don't have it. I have all of silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give to you. I give you Jesus. That's all I got.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes,
sir. See, you don't think that's enough, but I'm going to tell you from firsthand experience, it's enough. He's enough. I'm telling you, he's enough. He's all you need. And so what happens is he comes out of covenant, and what happens is that now war succeed him because of his decision. So somebody, don't come out of covenant. Don't come out of covenant. Stay in covenant. Number three, and I'm done. Here we go. Remaining in covenant with God will always allow us to see the manifested presence of God in our lives. Do you want to see God's presence in your life?
Yeah. Yes, sir. Yes,
sir. Do you want to see God's glory in your life? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. If you want to see God's glory at all times in your life, stay in God. Yeah. Stay with God. Don't abandon God at the first sight of trouble. I'll be honest. I laugh sometimes at new believers when they come and they say, "Hey, Pastor, I gave my life to Christ and I'm having trouble." What you think was going to happen? I'm just be honest with you. And that's what I'm here for, to settle your spirit. Settle. It's okay, baby. It's all right.
That's it.
It's all right. You're going to be all right.
That's all right.
The devil don't challenge nobody who's on their way up.
That's it.
You got to be, it's okay. Because guess what? You're about to learn how the power of God is going to keep you even when you're fearing, experiencing trouble. Even when you feel everything is breaking loose around you. Why? It's because you know why the enemy attacks us at the very point that we get saved? It's to test how genuine your confession was. Why would I let somebody escape from my hands that I had in my hand? You know the sign of that is when Pharaoh finally said, "Okay, go with your people," and stuff like that, but yet he still came after Egypt, still came after Israel to bring them back. Why you think that's for? I'm not about to let you go from my grip. I'm not about to let you experience what I know. What I once knew, excuse me. See, y'all think that the devil doesn't know who God is. He was in his presence. Why do you think he tries to rob and blind people of the truth? Think about it. I'm gonna blind you of a truth that I know. I'm not blinding you from something that I don't know. Because that doesn't need blind, that doesn't need shielding from you. I was up on God. I saw him. I saw the glory of God for firsthand. Firsthand. Why would I let you know that the glory of God is real? Pastor, why are there so many religions? Because the enemy sold it into the world. You have to sow seeds to create confusion. Then create deception. And thinking that, saying that all of us are serving the same God. No, you're not. Because not biblically, you don't all point to the same person. So the reality is, ladies and gentlemen, everything that you go against or what you're fighting is your fight is to remain. Your fight is to remain because you will always have the temptation and be tempted to come out and not to remain in him. The reality is, go to Psalm 103, verse 17 through 18 as I wrap this up in a bow. It says, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting, meaning it has no end. And then it says, on those who fear him, meaning this fear, ladies and gentlemen, is not in the idea of us, it's not to be scared of God for those who are the believer. It is the idea as you are to, as a parent is to a child, or what a child should see their parent in a place of reverence. Not in a place of being scared, in a place of reverence to him. So here's what it says. So the mercy of the Lord has no end to those who fear him. And not only to those who fear him, but his righteousness is also to children's children. Meaning that because I walk in the fear of the Lord, take me back real quick, Deb. Because I walk in the fear of the Lord, hear me, because I fear the Lord, I walk in the fear of the Lord, because of my covenant with God, as I've given him my life, he says that his mercy will ever be everlasting to me. And here's this, and not only will be to me, but his righteousness will be shared to my children's children.
Hallelujah.
That means to BJ and whoever else in my line, in my wife and I's line, because we walk upright before God, his mercy. Now, here's what I'm going to say. Now, does that mean everybody in your line will be saved? I don't know. It's by choice. But the mercy of God will always be there because there was one that feared. You know why Israel didn't get taken out when it could have gotten, when it should have gotten taken out? It's because God made an everlasting covenant to David. And because he made a covenant to David, he said, I'm not going to wipe him out. Not only that, but he made an everlasting covenant and oath to Abraham that his seed would be blessed. And now, ladies and gentlemen, is Abraham still around experiencing that promise? No, he's long gone. But yes, we are the seed of Abraham because what was promised. What am I trying to tell you? That if you walk up in front of God, because your oath with God, he said, listen, I'm not going to let your line fall because I made a covenant with you. I think about my grandfather right now, grandmother, how God made a covenant with him. And because of that covenant, all of us have been prospering. Why? Because, not because their salvation was inherited, because he let the mercy of God lead us to him. See, that's important to walk up front of your kids in righteousness. See, because ultimately the mercy of God will lead them down the path. And no matter how much hell they find themselves in, God's hand won't let them take them out because of the mercy that he made with you. Are you hearing me? But if you selfish, you only think it's about you. It's bigger than you. God puts you here for a bigger reason that's outside of you. All you gotta do is remain. TCF, if we remain in him, what's gonna happen is that wall gonna fall down. This wall gonna fall down. The next wall behind that's gonna fall down. Schools around the corner is gonna be getting what they need. Everything will be flowing out of here. Creators flowing out of here. Business leaders flowing out of here. The next changes of society is flowing out of here, because the mercy of God is, oh my God, is at work in this room, because these people made a mind up and say, guess what? I'm not allowing things to take me out of covenant. I'm going to stay in covenant with God. Not only that, but my whole household going to be saved, because guess what? I'm not breaking covenant. I'm going to keep on praying. I'm going to keep on seeking God. And when I keep on seeking God, he's going to be found, because he's not trying to hide himself from me. In my closing thoughts, there's things I want to give you. Hear me and listen to me prophetically. I'm done. I want you to write this down. I want you to hear me. Faith is more than a moment. It is a daily commitment to trust God at all times. Listen to this again. Faith is more than a moment. It is a daily commitment to trust God at all times. Sometimes people try to inspire faith for a moment. Oh, you're going to have faith to get that house. You get the house, and then all of a sudden your faith goes on the shelf. Oh, I got faith to start this business, and we're going to do that. You started, you're doing good, but then it goes on the shelf. We're not trying to inspire faith for moments. It's bigger than a moment. You need faith for a lifetime. Yes. The reason why people break covenant is because they don't realize that faith is more than a moment. It's a lifelong journey. I don't need faith for a moment. I need it for bigger than the moment. Because the moment gets there, I need the faith to even remain in it. Yeah. Man, I got faith to get married. You get married, you need the faith to stay married. Yeah. It's more than a moment. You get the job. Well, okay, cool. You got a job. You got faith. You need the faith to be the best that you can be at it. Oh, I'm starting this. You need the faith to know how, the wisdom to get through it all. Faith is more than a moment, friend. Faith is bigger than that. You need a lifelong, it's a lifelong journey. That's why it's never, if faith is a moment, then life is a sprint. If faith is just a moment, then life is a sprint, because then I'm only living for moments. And when the moment don't happen, what you gonna do? That's why life is a marathon. Faith, this whole thing is it's a journey. Because when I knock one thing down, I still got more to go. Don't make your highlight of your life moment. Make it a whole big composition. Thank you, Dom, of moments of seeing the hand of God. Because when you get that moment, you think that there is nothing bigger. Let me tell you, everything that you conquer is no more than a pit stop to the next thing, to the next thing, to the next thing, until God calls you home. Yes. Don't see your life in moments. You get married, let's move on. We go on to the next thing. Now we got to live life. Started this business, now I got to get clients. Started this, now I need this. I got saved, now I need the faith to remain in my salvation. Been saved for years, I need to continue to. I don't know all that there is to know about God. God is infinite. You'll never feel like you have God understood. So if you feel like, I don't understand God, good. You and I won't. Because he's not you. Secondly, I'm going to say this. God is a covenant-keeping God, but he needs covenant-keeping people.
That's it.
And then lastly, I'm going to end you on this, and I want to ask you this. How many times God has to prove himself to you? How much more does God have to prove to you for you really to trust him at all times? How much more does he have to prove to you? I'm going to tell you now. The reason why we can trust him is bigger than just the fact of what he's done for you individually. It's because he sent his son. That alone should prove right there that God is who he says he is. Just that alone. But then when it gets personal, the fact of what God has saved you from and what you are dealing with should be enough to prove to you. God is not out here to try to prove something to you. And if you try to make it that way with God, I promise you, you will never see the hand of God move in your life. Because who are you? You ain't nobody that God has to prove himself to. I know that stings. But who are you? You're not. I hear you, Holy Spirit. In the book of Job, God said, where were you? When I made all this? Who are you for me to have to justify myself to? You weren't there when the angels rejoicing at how I separated the land from the sea. You weren't there. God don't got nothing to prove to you. Stop living like he does. What you need to do, and you don't even have to live to prove nothing to God. All he just wants is your faith. All he wants from you is your faith. He don't want you to prove nothing to him. He know who you are. The covenant that we're making with one another is not a prove it to see who do what. The covenant is a covenant of love. Because when it's love, I don't got to prove myself to my wife. I can just be confident in my relationship. Stand your feet. Don't break covenant. Whatever you do, don't break covenant. You have too much on the line to come out of covenant. Stay with God. Stay in the will of God. They say this and they say it all the time, and I believe in the safest place in all the wide world is being in the will of God. Don't come out of the will of God. Stay in the will of God. As we stay into it together, here's what I'm going to give you. I don't know why I want to really end this, but the Spirit is telling me to say one more thing. Because I want to give you this. Asa did not respond to the word of God like he did the first time. He responded in faith. This time he responded in anger. And because he responded in anger, he threw Hanani the seer in jail, and he oppressed the people who stayed in covenant with God. What am I trying to tell you? What does that make sense, Pastor B? You know what people do? Because of however they receive the word, as it pierces your heart, what people do is that you start not seeing them come as much, because the word has offended them. And what happens is, because when you see other people still staying in covenant, it puts more bitterness in your heart because they've remained loyal to God. And then what happens is you start having a bitterness towards people, and you start oppressing people or trying to take out your frustrations on others because you really have a problem with you.
Yeah.
So to avoid all of that, respond in faith when you hear it. The word was meant to correct so he could respond in repentance. If he were to respond in repentance, I guarantee you it would have been a different story. Don't get offended. When I heard the word for myself, I was like, ooh, this hurts. But it's not meant to hurt you so that you can feel bad. It's the sake of, listen, you see the downfall there? It's always possible. You better stay hold to God's unchanging hand. Listen, if you're not saved, I give you Jesus this morning. I give you the author and finisher of my faith. Today, I'm telling you, come into covenant with him, because if you're out of covenant, you're outside of the safety of God. And so today he died and he was buried so that you can have a relationship with him. So that you have peace with God. And today is the day. Listen, if you want to rededicate your life back to Christ, you can rededicate your life back to Christ. And no matter how far you drifted away, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to make a commitment to God. Not only that, but if you need a church home, don't you leave out of here. If you're feeling the Lord's calling you to here, make it official. Make it official. I would love to do life with you. You have people here to do life with. Amen. So that you can be the best you can be in your journey with Christ. Amen. So first, I'm going to do this. If you're not saved, I want you to repeat this after me. Say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I acknowledge I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. I acknowledge that you died on the cross, that you were buried, that you rose again, and you ascended to the right hand of the Father just for me. Today, I want to make you the Lord over my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, the first call I'm going to ask you, if you want to be saved, I want you to meet Pastor Dom down this aisle. We'll lead you and tell you the next steps of salvation. Secondly, if you wanted to rededicate your life to Christ, you can do that right now. Pastor Dom is in front to receive you. And thirdly, if you want to make a commitment to officially become a partner here at Transformation Christian Fellowship, come and make the walk down the aisle. In Jesus' name, I'm giving you that chance. If you, that's you, I want to make your way down here. We want to greet you. We want to encourage you. Amen. If that's you, hallelujah. Y'all do me a favor. Ask somebody standing next to you. Say, are you saved? Do you got a relationship with Jesus? Do you actually know him? Amen. Do you have a church home? I mean, seriously, not one that you call, but one you made official with. Amen. Do you? If not, make your way down here at this altar. Amen. All right. Well, if ever hearts and minds is good, let's give God praise concerning that.